You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO's Metal Marathon, the Metal March, is back once again. And that means brand new metal merch. Go to kboo.fm/metal to check out all KBOO's new metal merch featuring exclusive artwork provided by local artists and musicians at Unicron Artworks. This year's Metal Marathon is live on KBOO Friday, March 14th at 8 p.m. through Saturday, March 15th at 6 a.m. Get your very own limited edition 2025 Metal March metal merch and listen to every installment of the Metal Marathon at kboo.fm/metal and support metal on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. Hey KBOO listeners, come join us Friday, April 4th from 6 to 9 p.m. here at the station for KBOO's April Fools for Fools First Friday Arts Walk for the eccentrics, the clowns, and the freaks. Enjoy an evening of art, live music, vendors, performers, food, drinks, and more. That's Friday, April 4th from 6 to 9 p.m. at 20 Southeast 8th Ave, Portland, Oregon. Can't wait to see you there.
شبعك دلع تعال يا ابن الحلال بس لك منطي مجال تعال تعال تعال
تعال شبعك حب شبعك دلع تعال يا ابن الحلال بس لك منطي مجال تعال تعال تعال
اريد اقول لك اني قافل عليك واريد اشرد بيك تروح ما اخليك
حسيت من اجيك واللي متخبل عليك هواي
وشلون عنك افترك وانت بصمه بالعشق واللي متخبل عليك هواي
تعال شبعك حبه شبعك
اريد احضنك حضنه ما الانتقام
حلا بس لك منطي مجال تعال تعال
Welcome to the Global Sales Show. Tonight we have Ahmed Alzabidi from Iraq. It's going to be a very interesting night because this is my first time to interview somebody from that region. So we expect to hear more and to be enriched. in terms of wisdom, experience, and life circumstances and situations. So before I delve into the topics, let me allow Ahmed to introduce himself. Please go ahead, Ahmed, introduce yourself.
Yeah, thank you for having me for an open this opportunity for me. My name is Ahmed Zubaydi, originally from Iraq, Middle East, and like people that count me as a community leader in Arabic Muslims community, and my day job in Multnomah County, and I'm the founder for the Arabic House of Oregon, and originally I'm a refugee from Iraq. I arrived to the United States, I can say, like around 10, 11 years ago.
Great. It's good to have you, Ahmed. Before we go into deeper topics, I wanted you to explain the last song that we just played. What's the name of this song?
So, this song is very popular in my region. Even around I think now around a billion views.
Yeah.
And it's called Taal. It means come over.
Wow.
And it's by it's a trio between three famous songs, singers in Baghdad or in Iraq, or I can say in Arabic region. It's Mahmoud Turki, Mustafa Abdullah, and Hussein, I think Ali Hussein. And it's very famous. If you will go there, everybody, all the places that will play it. So it's funny and optimistic, bring joy. And I saw even you didn't maybe hear or understand the lyrics, but the melody make you move, and
That's right.
So it's very joy song, I can
and
say
compelling
that.
Drums too.
I was
feeling obliged to do something, shake my body or do something, not to waste the music. It's so interesting and so good to hear that explanation. So I understand today was a special day for the Arabic Heritage Month. Can you say something today about that?
So today, on this morning, the board with Multnomah County, we work on this, not just me, we are a team, Mohammed Al-Badr, Alice, Emily, Mawadda, we are employee in Multnomah County. So we gather together and we decided to, why we don't have proclamation for the Arabic Heritage Month. So we work on the letter, we provide it to the chair, and today they sign it. So today the first day with the Arabic Heritage Month in Multnomah County, and I believe Kate Brown, the former governor, she signed the bill about making April as Arabic Heritage Month.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
This is a milestone for real.
Yeah,
we really celebrate that with you. We join you in celebrating that. And I understand we just finished the Ramadan as well. So this is so awesome to have this Arabic Heritage Month, having a proclamation before the county board. That's a big milestone. And hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
So I want you to walk with us in Iraq today. What's the ordinary day like when you live in Iraq?
So I just visit Iraq recently.
Yeah,
I can to see my mom. She was sick, so I must go there. Culturally, my culture, mom, it's like a after God, like your mom and dad. So even we have speech from our Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him. It says, if you want to earn heaven, go and be slave under your mom's legs.
Wow.
To serve her and provide everything for her, because she did that for you when you was super young.
That's right.
Anyway, so today, Iraq, I want to be specific. So in summer or winter?
Yeah.
So which one? If the winter is so short, but we don't have that much rain. We have sun a lot. Summer is super hard for Iraqis because we have the heat there, humid, and the sandstorm will hit maybe 5-6 times per year or per summer. But you will wake up every morning around 5:30. Sorry. And like you need to prepare because we have the rush hour there, like it's look like New York or like LA. Like you will spend easy 2 hour just to drive to your work in time without the rush hour, 8 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. So you need to, for that, we wake up early to arrive early to the, like, to our work. So we will not hit the rush hour, either, like, when we travel in or travel out to the back house. So, like, example, if you have something to do, then you will do one thing per day because the rush hour will eat your day. So, like, if you want to have, like, want to go, like, to DMV.
Yeah.
So that day gone, like just be, like travel back and forth.
Wow. So what are the winter seasons like? Does it snow in Iraq?
North of Iraq, yes. South of Iraq and middle of Iraq, no. It's, but the cold, you feel it in your bones, like not here. Like there, because of the rain, it's not that much cold, but there. And so you feel it in your bones, like it's very tough winter. And I don't want like to be, you know, negative, but because we, the corruption there, we don't have that much electricity, so that means we don't have heat. Like you need, we still using those like gasoline or you know, heaters, and so it's like it's very hard, like on winter there, and especially again without the service that government provide, you flood everywhere when heavy rain, and you will need like maybe 3-4 days till like the water gone. So it's very tough life there with all the corruption we have in there.
And what's the summer like?
Summer, like, more enjoyable, kind of, but the heat kill all the joy because, like, sometimes we reach 160 super easy.
Really?
Yeah, and, like, so, like, example, in the city center in Baghdad, let's say, like, when you go, because the shop, they cannot close. They, you know, like, they open all the day. So they start to have the showers. For the people, like, so you will see water everywhere when you walk. So you can take shower with your clothes and you will be dry within 5 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yes. So just to keep people on the street so they can, you know, keep shopping. And the shop owners, they did that because they want to keep people, you know, coming back and like come and visit them.
Wow.
In time, like other people, like other countries in the region. Like the governors or like the government start to cool down the street, like either with ACs or like water, like spring water on people to make it cool down because of the heat in the area and the region.
That's very interesting to know. So do you have any special foods that you can take to deal with the temperature conditions?
Yes, we divided food for cold and heat, like even it's cooked, like served hot, but when you eat it, will feel cold. Like example, fish. Like if you eat fish, you cannot drink something cold with it because cold with cold, that will make you feel powerless and you need to have a nap. So, like example, if you will eat fish, you need to eat date because date is hot. So that will make a balance. So you will have the energy. Other foods, like if it's in winter, we eat like eggplant because eggplant like is heat. Kebab, like meat, all those things. So, like people, they have experience with which food and when and where. So,
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah, for those just joining us on KBOO, you are listening to the Global Sales Show. My name is TK Kaparandi. I'm your host this evening. Thank you for listening and welcome on board. Before we dive into our other detailed topics, I just wanted to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. If you're enjoying the program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a member by just going to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to these numbers, 44-321. Before we proceed, we're going to play the second piece from Iraq. Let's hear this music taste from Baghdad. It's so interesting to know how music unites the world in the true sense. So we have our second piece now from Iraq. Another soothing musical piece from the Arabic region, Ahmed, may you please introduce that song for us?
It's another funny and joy song by Saad Al-Mujarrad. He's from, I think, as I remember, from Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
He's very famous in that region too. And he did a great job because there they don't speak like the Arabic fluent,
uh-huh.
so or formal Arabic.
But he
did his best to sing this song in Arabic so we can understand it in other region. And he was like, it's hit. So at that time, or like, I think they have maybe 500 million view now on this song. And it's even, I believe in the United States, many people, they know it.
I was so caught into it as well because I couldn't even resist as well. Like the first song, you play the second song, it's like I'm falling in love with the music from the region. It's so cool and so soothing. It would put you to sleep, or you can be taken millions of miles away as you imagine things, even without language access.
Yeah.
I'm still enjoying this kind of music. Thank you.
It's called You Are the Master.
Yeah.
So like it's kind of, he speak with his lover as like, you are the master and I learned from you. So it's look like make it joy, like it's look like a love story but with different kind of language.
Oh, so that's so sweet. For sure. Right, for those just listening in, welcome to the Global Sales Show. Tonight I have Ahmed Al-Zubidi from Iraq. So he's gonna share with us his experiences in Iraq, and he's also gonna share how he feels about being an immigrant in the USA. So welcome on board, Ahmed. You. Can you please share with our audience your life story? Whatever you want to share about your life story, please go ahead.
So that will bring a lot of memories. Do you want, like, because like 2003 was like very, you know, was like the moment. So do you want like to start before 2003 or after 2003?
I'm dying to learn everything. So you can start from your childhood, where you were born, how things were. You just give us a summary, then you jump then to 2003.
So again, people who just joined us, my name is Ahmed Zubaydi. I'm from Iraq. I born in Baghdad in 1977. My father moved a lot with the family just to follow his work, like many families here in the United States. But we end up back to our like the original house from 60s and till 2003.
Yeah.
And after 2003, I graduated in 2003 from political science. I have major in political science.
Congratulations.
Master degree. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I love journalism. So because I feel I can deliver sound, like people sound who was not able to deliver their sound to the, like, you know, to the to the other people and the like the lawmakers, let's say it in this way. So I start immediately, like if people they know like a Saddam regime, like or the X regime, I can say end up with April 9th. May 20, I was involved with like with journalism. So I start what we call like I was one of the people who, I don't know if people here, they know we have Al Hurra satellite channel. It's a fund by BBG, like the governor, like it's like the broadcasting governor, something like it's work with funded by Congress. It was like Radio Sawa, Voice of America. It's like a big group, Radio Free Iraq or Radio Free Europe. So all those media stations or agencies funded by American government, but outside United States to show like example Middle East what the life in United States or if like how they run the things there. So I was one of the people who helped to create that channel in Baghdad. Around like I worked with them around 6 months, and after that, Radio Free Europe, like same mother umbrella, let's say it in this way, like give me an offer. I couldn't resist that. Yeah. Like radio. So for that, I appreciate that you're bringing back under the mic today, like like behind the mic. So I started working with them in 2004, Radio Free Europe, and I was working as a senior correspondent with the Iraq, like Arabic service. It's called Radio Free Iraq. This radio, United States established it in 1991, the first, you know, Arab Gulf war, to deliver the right information or the truth to the Iraqi people about Saddam regime. So it's like very thick legacy radio. It's like very long history for that radio. So I was enjoying to be apart from that family and keep this legacy continue. And that's give me motivation to do my best. So I was like in Prime Minister office almost 20 hours per day.
Wow.
Like delivering all the, you know, the news, any like anytime he traveled, I've been with him as an escort, like journalist escort, any activities. So and because it's American agency, the United States Embassy in Baghdad reach us and to cover their like activities. And at that time, the coalition forces, called the coalition forces in 2003-2004, they contact us to help them to deliver the like activities to right people, like to with the truth, because they know we are honest, we are the like we just deliver the truth.
So the kind, sorry to interrupt, so the kind of news you were delivering, with was that news pro-government, or you were just reporting what was on the ground? Did you have to be guided, like you have to report this kind of news?
Thank you for this question. Actually, at that time was General Dempsey, who was like, I think it was like 1st Armored Division in Baghdad. And the base was like the Baghdad airport.
Okay.
So we did a meeting. I told him, hey, this is my, I put some note. Nobody tell me what to do. What I will see, I will deliver the truth, either bad or good. And he, like, he was very professional, honestly. And he told me, do what you, like, what you're supposed to do. We will not, like, push you to say anything either bad or good, because like we believe in like you should do your job honestly, so that gave me like a big space or area to move around and like again to motivate me to do the best I can. So that's opened a lot of doors to create a center for all other journalists, because we at that time we end up we having like 4,000 journalists just to like want to cover the news in Baghdad or in Iraq in general.
And among those journalists, were there some international journalists?
Like from all like CNN, Fox News, like so we create a center. It's called like International Press Center. So that's what we do, bring like a leader from a U.S. Army or Navy or like even a Department of State. They do briefing every day. And we bring the journalist in convention center. And we have a briefing every day at 5 p.m. to deliver all the activities for that day. So, and that's continuing around like maybe 9 years. So it was like very success thing. So because of that, I'm being on TV a lot. And I'm being not famous, but people, they know me. So they know my face and, you know, I'm a huge guy, bald with thick mustache. And like, so like they cannot miss me.
Right.
So when I've been on TV, like with at that time Paul Bremer, like Bush or Condoleezza Rice, Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld. So because they was visiting Iraq a lot, and because we are like United States agency or funded by United States government, the embassy was like having what we call like round table with them. So when like Condoleezza Rice arrived,
right,
or Dick Cheney, we have like just five journalists meet with them, and we will give pool information for other journalists. So I was one of them all the time. So when you've been on TV a lot,
yes.
So Al Qaeda or like militias, they want to reach you,
right?
So either you will work to like an spy for them and deliver information for them, or they will kill you. So what happened is I end up in 2008, I got like they broke in my house. I almost killed that day. I was able to run away. I didn't know how till today. Like,
so those were the agents?
Al-Qaeda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, and I got saved after that from U.S. Army, and I moved to out of Baghdad to north of Iraq because it's safe. It's called Kurdistan region, and I spent around 2 years there. And after that, I moved to Syria because they know where I am, and they start to threaten me there. So, long story short, I moved 11 times. Wow. I almost killed. I can say three times because I was embedded with the U.S. Army around 11 years. So, like, and we was on front. Like, we was just not just covering civilian activities.
Yes.
Because what happened is the Army, they was, like, divided by civilian activities, like rebuilding hospitals, rebuilding schools, other things, services. And like they have people like they fight on front like terrorists and all those things. So my duty was like focusing on like civilian things because people they thought like the duty for the army just destroy in time. No, they built hospitals, they built schools, they like they spend a lot of money to rebuild Iraq.
Right.
And so people they don't know that. People, they just saw, you know, army with bad news because, you know, journalists, they just deliver bad news, not good news. So I was the unique one who delivered those good news. And so because it will be unfair, like when I sit back, this is unfair. Like I see them, they spend money, effort, blood to rebuild those schools, deliver like schools, books, soccer balls, clothing. USAID at that time did a great job, like a lot of like effort and money spent on those civilian activities. Nobody covered them. So I was the one like tried to deliver all those, and I started to pull some journalists to ask them to join me to cover those civilian, and I success actually. So it was like a fun things to do because you will be unique, you know, like everybody like run behind like bomb car or something. In time I go like go spend time with like 3-5 Humvees who visit like a school in out of the city to rebuild or to rebuild or to like, you know, to help deliver food or something, like, you know, to save lives. In time, people, they cover, like, just how the, like, army act to respond to any safety or, like, security activities. So it was, like, fun things to do, actually.
Very interesting story. So can you briefly tell us about your experiences meeting with those top U.S. politicians visiting Iraq? What do you remember mainly about interacting with them?
So, like, it was like, at that time, I feel it, like, you know, we just saw them on TV. So when I see them in person, it was like, honestly, like, mixed feelings, like, to be super honest, mixed between as Iraqi, like how I looked to those politicians that I thought their army destroyed Iraq. And in time, as a journalist, how I see those people and honor to meet them and make interviews with them, sit next to them, take pictures, and carry all those memories and, like, you know, learn from them, see how they act, to learn from them. So it was like very mixed feelings at that time. But I end up like to work with them, walk with them, because I know, I start to understand like nothing personal, like, because not those people who, like, between two parentheses, like, who destroy my country. No, those people, they are like employees,
right?
So they was like doing their job. That's it. That's like, so it's nothing personal with them. So I when I sit back and like see the things that way, like, so I start to enjoy that moment because I'm honored. Like, I'm the first person in my big family to meet like very famous, like politician or like Condoleezza Rice or Rumsfeld or Dick Cheney or even President Bush at that time. So it was like when people, they saw me with those people on TV, like, wow, like, it's,
you're big.
So and that's actually opened the doors for me even to find like other high level jobs with other agencies, like CNN, like BBC, like Al Jazeera, like NBC, like those big, you know, big player in that region who affect even like politics in some countries. They can change governors. So when you start to get offer from that agencies, you know, that's, oh, like, that's big. Like, I made it.
For those just joining us, welcome on board. You just joined the Global Sales Show. My, your host this evening, my name is TK Kapura, and I have Ahmed Alzubidi live on air explaining the situation in Iraq as it was then and as it is now. So before we keep going with our conversation, we're going to have another song from the Arabic region. Please take a listen.
تستخسرش فيها صوتك بتكتب بكرة بشروطك دي بشرة خير قوم نادي عصعيدي وبناخوك البورسعيدي والشباب الاسكندراني لما بينا مت رجال وانا هاجي مع السوهاجي والقناوي والسناوي والمحلاوي اللي مية مية والنوبة الجمال ما توصيش السويسة الدنيا هايصة كده كده والاسماع اللوية يا مكان العدا كلمني عالشرقوة واحنا ويا بعض اقوى واحنا ويا بعض
وبناخد البورسعيدي والشباب الاسكندراني لما دي لمة رجال وانا هاجي مع السوهاجي
another special piece from the Arabic region. Welcome to the Global Sales Show. We have Ahmed Alzobidi online. Hey, Ahmed, will you please introduce this song again to our audience?
Thank you again. So this song I was talking about, like, encouraging people to go to election in Egypt after the Arabic Spring happened in the region, like I can say the Middle East, Tunisia, Syria, Yemen, Egypt.
Yeah.
So this song was produced by the singer who's his name Hussein Al-Jismi, and he's from Arab Emirates, but he decided to sing it in an Egyptian accent to encourage people to, you know, to go to an election after Hosni Mubarak gone, after the revolution happened there.
Was it encouraging them to go to election or encouraging them to revolt?
To go to election to vote. Okay. He didn't vote for this or this.
But just vote.
No, yeah, just because it's the first real election, I can say, after Hosni Mubarak gone. So he was encouraging people to go to involve, because people, they not trust the new system yet.
Yes.
Like same happened in Iraq, like in the first election, we have, I think, 30% or maybe 40% from people who went in 2004 to the first Iraqi election, because people I've been 32 at that time, maybe, or 30 years.
Yes,
I never went to election, and suddenly we have all this freedom, election, politics, all those, you can say what you want. So and that's hit a lot of countries, like other regions, what we call the Arabic Spring.
So what's the significance of this song besides encouraging people to go and vote? And also, would this musician be in trouble for encouraging people to vote?
No. He was more famous because he didn't involve in politics directly, but he involved indirectly. So people, they couldn't judge him or something. And Egypt, like Iraqis, maybe Jordanian, maybe other Arabic country, they love life. This is what bothered me a lot when I hear some journalists, they don't know anything about that region.
Right.
And he sit and he starts to tell stories about how Arabic or Muslim, they are bad people and how they can attack us or something. If we want to attack him, we have a million of falafel, our halal store, we can put poison on those and we will kill the million people. But we are, we love life.
Yes.
But in same time, we love our culture. We love our food. We love our tradition. We love our, our religion. So when I try to, example, what happened with me as Ahmed when I moved to the United States.
Yeah.
I have two kids. So me and
how
my wife.
How old are your kids?
When we arrive, Almas, she's my daughter, was 3, and Mustafa was 8.
Oh, nice.
So it was very tough time for them because they don't speak English. For example, Mustafa, when he started to attend the school, he was back every day crying because he cannot understand anything.
Totally understandable.
And time, Almas, because she's younger, she learned faster. So when she went to the school, she was able to handle it. Anyway, so that's take us to me and my wife. Hey, how we will raise up our kids in this different culture country.
Right.
So we end up we are educated people.
Right.
Let's do this. Every culture has a good things and bad things.
That's right.
My culture as an Arabic person, we have good things and bad things. And in American culture, we have good things and bad things. So what end up to make it mixed culture, hybrid culture, let's say it in this way. Like we take good things from our culture and good things from American culture. Yes. We mix it. Mm-hmm. We start to provide it to our kids.
Right.
Like example, many people they says like we cannot, you know, celebrate Christmas or other occasions.
Right.
And time I don't take it that way. I mm-hmm. take it any occasion can right. bring family together. Mm-hmm. Go with it.
That's right.
Like, you know, spirit love, not hate.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
this is how I start to raise my kids. Like mm-hmm. when, because I don't want them to raise up to feel different from other kids,
mm-hmm.
Because like they cannot celebrate like Halloween or something like that.
That's
like,
right.
I don't take it religiously. I take it as an occasion, bring us together, having mm-hmm. fun as a family.
Yes.
Because I know one day they will growing up. Mm-hmm. And we will be alone, me and my wife.
Right.
Because they have their life to live with their
exactly.
families.
Exactly. And this is
so at least
place.
We will carry all those memories, yes. pictures, laughing, that yes. feeling with us.
Mm-hmm.
So when we will be alone, uh-huh. we will use it yes. as, you know, as a reference, let's say.
That's
this
right.
way. So, like, but many people, they don't see that face from the Arabic culture. They see uh-huh. like just what the news or uh-huh. Hollywood movies.
Yes.
Like even by the way, there's like I saw yesterday a commercial for Volkswagen car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About like someone like he wearing bomb jacket.
Uh-oh.
He tried to bomb himself in the market.
Uh-huh.
So he was driving Volkswagen car.
Right.
And because it's Volkswagen, it's very yeah. strong car.
Yeah.
He just ended up just to explore himself inside the car and nothing happened.
Uh-oh.
Because it's very it's tough car.
VW, yeah.
And how we, like, he wearing kufiya to mm-hmm. show he's a tourist from Arabic region.
Oh, no.
Like, we, like, people, they don't know, like, example, especially I'm talking about Iraq.
Right.
The first people who create wheel Iraqis, the first people who create batteries, Iraqis, yeah. The first people who divided the time by minute and by second, yeah. Iraqis.
Oh.
The first people who create beer
yeah.
was Iraqis.
Oh, really?
The first people who create a credit system was yeah. Iraqis.
Oh.
And many, like mathematics, algebra, like yeah. Chemistry. All those who came from Arabic region, like without Arabic region today,
yeah, uh-huh.
we will not end up sitting like behind even this mic.
Wow.
So this is what I hate, because like people, they are not educated themselves about uh-huh. or at least ask us.
You're right.
Like when you know this Ramadan months,
yeah.
go to any masjid and yes. just sit in the back
uh-huh.
and listen.
Yes.
Because they speak in English.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, how yeah. we will act, what we say, uh-huh. how we pray.
Yes.
If you didn't like it at that time, uh-huh. you can judge.
Yes.
So I wish like they will change this mentality about uh-huh. like Arabic or Muslims, because
yes. uh-huh.
we are here to like I run away from tourists.
Right.
Like any other American now, he ran away from tourists.
Right.
To make my family safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I end up, people, they call me tourists. Like, how?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I served this country as a senior correspondent embedded with the U.S. Army
yes.
around 13 years, 11 years.
Uh-huh.
So I serve this country maybe what? More than many other people in
oh.
this country. So that's what's bothered me and make me feel, like, sad,
yeah.
not angry, because mm-hmm. I give them excuses. They don't know.
Right.
For that, I start to take it on my shoulder.
Yeah.
Like any occasion, I can educate people about
yes.
Arabic, about
Muslims. It's an opportunity,
Muslims, like,
yes.
to change that mentality, mm-hmm. I'm take it. Like,
yes.
I'm go. Like,
to get
yeah.
away, to get rid of the stereotyping, for sure.
Yes, yes,
yes.
Of course.
I
especially
really,
food.
Yes. So, talking about food, can you please explain to us the cuisines from Iraq? What are they like? What do you guys like to eat?
The most three famous uh-huh. food in Iraq is yeah. called dolma,
dolma,
which means like vegetables. We put rice inside, and meat,
uh-huh.
Ground meat. I mean, like,
yeah.
and like they roll it like, you know, like those cigarettes.
Like cigarettes, uh-huh.
yeah, and they build up, and we put like some sauce on it, and we keep it like to on the stove maybe 2 hours just with like very low temperature to like cooked with very slow.
It's
called dolma. And other like kebab, so people they mix between kebab and tikka, by the way, like I'm see a lot of stores or like restaurants, they when I ask for kebab they bring me tikka, which means like a lamb small pieces on a stick. Yeah, this is not kebab, this is tikka. So kebab, that's the ground beef, like you make it on steak and you put it on the grill, and that's the kebab. So the kebab is very famous in my country. Dolma, and the king of the food is called mezgouf. Which it's a fish, but we open it from the back, not from the stomach. We open it like a book. And we put it like on, not like around maybe 10, 15 inch from the flame, charcoal flame. And we put it like, we stuck like a sit, like on the side. And we put just salt and lemon. That's it. And after we start to crispy, super slow, like it will take around an hour, 40 minutes. We will take it from the side and we'll put it directly on that charcoal, because the charcoal will start to die, you know, like because after 1 hour. To grill the back and serve it very hot with the bread, like Iraqi bread or something like that. It will be that delicious. Maybe one day we can do it, because I fish. Like I go fishing, so maybe we can do it there fresh. And please. I believe you will enjoy it.
Oh, I would look forward to that.
I'm sorry, I already feel hungry,
I'm hungry too. All right, so besides that, what else makes your culture like significant in terms of like the food contributions to the global picture?
Clothing and the relationship between like female and male. Because again, always media showing that we deal with our wife as a slave. In time, we deal with them as a queen. Like example, the first things, we don't take their names, like their family name. They keep their family name. And we don't want her to work, to go to work. And it's our duty to provide everything, because she's the queen of the house. And her duty just to, like, you know, to help your family growing up or the kids, raise them with the right way, focus on study. Like, and she can go to the, like, to the school, because, like, in my case, I prefer to marry educated women, the high educated women, because that will help my family to be educated.
That's right.
Because if my kids back from school and I'm busy working two jobs to provide to the family, who will help them with homework?
Nobody.
So if my wife will be high educated, she can focus on that. So I can have time to work two jobs or like to focus on my work. In time, people like media show us like we use them as a slave. Like, this is incorrect. Many people educated. Like, if you will go to Iraq, to maybe you will see female drive more than male.
Oh, really?
Yes. And they are, like, even the law now, they start, like, have control even about the marriage. If she didn't like you, she can divorce you. So, she like, you cannot control her, because she's a human being. She's your partner.
That's right.
So like, and I say I have wisdom in that, like I have wisdom says you need to pick your army very careful, because she will be the only army will stand next to you if something happens.
Oh, great. That was Ahmed Al-Zubidi from Iraq. I wish we could roll back the clock of time and have him explain more and share more about his country, Iraq. It's very interesting. I learned so much today about what Iraq has done to the world in terms of global inventions. Surprising news to me as I learned. I'm so excited to have learned so much from you through you, Ahmed. Thank you for joining us on the Global Sales Show. For those who like this show, we are here every first Wednesday of the month from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific time. I'm your host, TK Kapurra. It was nice to have you all listening into our show, the Global Sales Show, and thank you for listening. You have a wonderful evening. We'll leave you with a piece from Iraq as well. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Comme si je n'existais pas, elle est passée à côté de moi, sans un regard, reine de Saba. J'ai dit Aïcha, prends tout est pour toi. Voici les perles, les bijoux.
You are listening to KBOO Portland or KBOO.FM, your community radio station.
This is KBOO Portland.
You're listening to KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 4 Special Programming Campaign. Check out all the great special programs we're bringing you now through